Thank you, Paula and Jenny, for reading this morning. And I'm conflating a couple of verses, one from each, for my theme, which is come, see, listen. In the gospel, we had Philip say to Nathanael, come and see, when he brought him to Jesus. And in the book of Samuel, we had Samuel saying, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. There's that old saying, isn't there, that communicate, it can't make matters worse. When I was a young site engineer, and there had been an error, that something had occurred, it was probably because there'd been a lack of communication, and it takes at least two to create that initiation of conversation, passing of information, and a positive response. And of course, we like to think, I'll ask Beatrice this one. Beatrice, how many years have you got? How many ears have you got?
Two.
And how many mouths have you got? One. And what does that say? That you perhaps should use your ears twice as much as your mouth, you see? So we should listen as much, probably more than we speak. And of course, that's not our general experience. And of course, there's too a difference between hearing and listening. Samuel heard. He heard God call. But he didn't really understand. He didn't listen with that deep understanding that we too don't always apply to what we hear. And God kept calling. And because Samuel did not know God, he wasn't expecting him. So he thought naturally that it was Eli who was calling him. Eli was the old priest who Samuel was helping. Look after the house of God. And even Eli didn't hear the first two times. He just thought that it was Samuel imagining things. And then the third time, he realized that this perhaps was God talking. And perhaps it's an indication where the state of Israel was at that time, that it was not really hearing when God was calling. And I wonder whether we should think about that for ourselves. Whether we truly hear God calling, or we're not really giving our whole attention to him and truly listening. Samuel's background, why was he here? He was born as an answer to prayer by his mother Hannah, who dedicated Samuel to God's service. She vowed that he would live his whole life set apart for God. And Hannah, who was one of her husband Elkanah's two wives, had been barren. And when they went up to give their offering to God, Hannah pleaded that she be given a child. And God heard, and she bore the physical fruit of this child, Samuel, and then five others followed. And we need perhaps to think about whether our lives need to come, we need to come to God and ask him to cure our spiritual barrenness. Have we no longer grown the spiritual fruit that God is calling us to bear for him? And when he was three, Hannah took him to the temple to serve Eli, to serve God under Eli as a faithful apprentice. And he was very much in contrast to Eli's own sons, who were debased by materialism and greed. So Samuel grew up and was faithful to God in small ways, so that he would then become faithful to God in big ways through his calling as a prophet. Turning to the New Testament, to our gospel reading, and God's calling of Philip, First of all, Jesus said to him, follow me. And Philip followed Jesus and he found Nathanael and said, we have found him about whom Moses and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. So Philip heard Jesus and he responded to him, to that call to follow me. And there was a chain reaction here. A couple of days earlier, John and Andrew met with Jesus and he said to them, come and see, when they said, where was he living? Then Andrew went and found his brother Simon and said, we have found the Lord. The following day, this day, Jesus finds Philip and calls him to follow. And Philip himself then goes and finds Nathanael. And Nathanael is probably known elsewhere in the New Testament as Bartholomew. And Nathanael, being, as Jesus described him, a true Israelite, said, surely nothing good comes out of Nazareth, because it was the despised city of Galilee. And Philip didn't try to defend Jesus. He simply said to Nathanael, come and see for yourself. Because he knew that Jesus would himself convict Nathanael of the proof that he needed to see. Because Jesus reveals the truth to us. He knows us. He knows our condition. He knows our relationship with God the Father, with Jesus the Son, and with the Holy Spirit. Now, he also knew that Nathanael had to overcome prejudice. And as I was thinking about this, I thought, well, what do we prejudge in our own relationships one with another? What do we need to set aside, as Nathanael had to set aside his prejudice about anything good not being able to come out of Nazareth? And Nathanael indeed was convinced. He made his declaration of Jesus's divinity as the Son of God and the King of Israel. And it's interesting, isn't it, that at the beginning of Jesus's ministry, Nathanael describes him as the King of Israel. And of course, at the end of his ministry, this was what was written on the scroll that was put above him on the cross, the King of Israel, the King of the Jews. So what is the reflection that we can take away from these two passages? Eli and Philip both had to step aside so that on the one hand, Samuel, and secondly, Nathanael might hear God. And I wonder, in our eagerness to share how God is working in our lives, do we sometimes get in the way of that communication? Are we too much noise in the background to prevent God speaking, not just to us, but also to those who we are trying to share the joy of our faith with those that we meet? Thankfully, God is persistent. He called Samuel four times. He didn't give up or deny Samuel the opportunity to respond. How many times has God been calling you, I wonder? Four times? Perhaps 40 times. But he will still call us, because he doesn't want us to deny that call from him. He is saying, come, see, and listen. And how do we hear that invitation to come and see? Well, it might be through the scripture, through the readings that we have heard today, through our quiet prayer time, through our sharing of prayer with others, through that time of reflection and meditation, which we need more and more to seek in the busyness of these days. And to help us in this, with as God does repeat his message to us It might be your practice perhaps to write up a prayer journal. If it isn't, then that might be something to think about, so that you can see that God is repeating something that he might want you particularly to hear, to clarify the purpose of his communication with you, and to help us focus our thoughts and to give him the response that he's seeking. And wherever we are on our Christian journey, we need to respond, as did Nathaniel and as did Samuel. Whether we are a seeker, whether we have newly turned to faith in Christ, or whether we are a faithful servant over many years, we still need to keep listening, to open our ears and to open our hearts so that the Holy Spirit can bring God's message to us, so that we would respond willingly and enthusiastically, as again did both Samuel and Nathaniel. And as God speaks to us, may he overturn those preconceptions, those prejudices that we carry with us. And perhaps indeed he might turn over those plans that we have prepared, because he may be saying to us, don't go that way, go this way and follow me. I'm going to conclude with a poem from Kay Gear, Windows of the Soul, Hearing God in the Everyday Moments of Your Life. Why do you want me to speak? Is not my presence sufficient for you? The kiss of my love in the sunlight, or the scent of my being on a flower? Why do you want me to speak? When I hug you in the embrace of a friend, when I move you by the fall of a song, when I show you the scars on my hands. Why do you ask me to speak when I use other voices, not mine? For mine is the cry of the stranger, the hungry, the prisoner, the poor. Why do you ask me to speak when I've spoken so often before? Heed my world, read my word, seek my son, and then you will hear me. Amen.